Now, I'm speaking with someone very interesting this morning, Dr. Liz Kirk. She's the founder of Beyond Ego and an expert in all things safety, health and computer intensive works. Liz, thank you for joining me.
Yes, thanks. Hi, Sally. Thanks for having me.
So, we were speaking earlier and you do quite a lot of work with children who face issues from too much screen time, which we know is a big issue, you know, that's been presenting itself in the last decade or so. How is excess screen time impacting children's physical health?
Well, we know, Sally, that because technology is changing so quickly that we're finding it hard to catch up with the ramifications for child health. We know that there's a loss of fitness, there's a lot of strength, they're losing flexibility and coordination. And I'm feeling that that lack of confidence around their body is also decreasing their confidence into interacting the world and taking on new challenges and trying new sports and activities and things. And we also feel that that general loss of movement means that their little bodies aren't relaxing and recovering from all this intensive screen use that they're already being involved with.
Yeah,
so we know too that there might be maybe some safety risks associated with that too, because kids aren't experiencing those low levels of physical risk-taking, safe environments with sports and parents. And that loss means that they don't mentally and physically understand the ramifications of what they're physically doing. And that might be a safety risk for later because they don't have the skills or experience to manage bigger changes when they take bigger risks.
Of course. And I guess, as you said, you know, that lack of physical activity and not taking risks, not trying new sports, I guess in the long term, it would also have an impact on their confidence. Is that correct? Is there mental health issues arising from this too?
I think, that's obviously not my area, but that's certainly what I'm hearing from parents, is that their kids are becoming it's harder for them to get them out to try new things. And as we know, sport groups and community groups are really important for their social development and their mental health, having that community around them beyond just school friends, because those community too also protect them and have other friends. If they're having troubles at school, they've still got people that they can talk to and play with and relax with.
And what are some of the most common, I guess, injuries or, you know, physical development issues that you're seeing in kids? Is it the neck, the back, the fingers? Where?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what the research is showing is that, I mean, what I'm seeing, what I used to see just in adults, so we know the research is saying that over 86% of people that work in computer intensive work are already experiencing some level of aches and pains, and that now was then translated into young adults as they entered the workforces and teenagers, and now we're seeing it in children, high school and even primary school kids. So we're seeing increasing in headaches and neck pain, shoulder pain, sore eyes, and increasingly lower back pain. Mm. And those questions that parents are asking me now also relate to sleep and sleep patterns and general lethargy and mood swings. So some of those stories that have been telling to me that I find really concerning, like as we've spoken about before, is the 11-year-old that ended up with carpal tunnel in both his thumbs because of his gaming routines, or the daughters that now are getting migraines and missing a lot of school because of they're just, you know, in pain all the time. And, of course, the friend of mine who's a physio, and she's been asked to pull her physio practice on site at their primary school because she's seeing so many children before, during and after school with back pain and neck pain. So it's...
Yeah,
it's
and that,
pretty
that's
scary.
It's scary, and it's truly mental to me, I guess, that, you know, a 11-year-old boy can get carpal tunnel in his thumbs. I just can't quite comprehend that one.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't know too much about muscles, but I guess it would impact their muscles for the rest of their life if they can't develop properly. I mean, that's what happens with the brain. You know, you're meant to do all these things when you're younger to help develop your brain, and I guess it's the same with your body, right? And if you don't, it has long-term effects.
Oh, look, these overuse injuries are really sneaky injuries. They slowly creep up on you until you know, until you've actually got a disability. So an overuse injury can affect your tendons, muscles, ligaments, and even your bones. So what can start off as maybe a tingling or a numbness, maybe a stiffness in fingers or maybe shooting pains up your arms, slowly increases in intensity. So if you don't take the rest and let yourself recover, that injury slowly progresses into chronic pain and can even lead to permanent damage. And if that's for adults, imagine what that's like for a child. That could be then lifelong pain and injury. And not only for the child, but the medical costs and the stress for the parents that have to care for the child and try and, you know, stop those injuries from occurring. It's
alarming.
It's scary.
And I believe you're developing a program to help kids relieve their muscles at school. Can you tell us about it?
It's been really interesting, Sally, because with this growing awareness, people have been asking me, a couple of parents and teachers have been asking me what they can do. So, yes, we've started to develop a program that will be useful for parents and teachers, and it'll provide a bit of that background information about why these musculoskeletal disorders start and why it's worse when we all got forced onto computers, because laptop computers were never be designed as a primary work tool. They're not meant to be used flat on the work surface for more than 2 hours a day. So our kids are just naturally using these, and that's obviously even a bigger problem. So the program itself will talk about a little bit about that theory, that background, and then the no-cost or low-cost ways to set up computers so your children aren't forced into these turtle postures, as well as then the targeted physical conditioning they need to help support the work that they're doing on computers and avoid the pain and injury, and some stretching and relaxation techniques so they can release that muscle tension and, you know, breathe better and work better and be more mentally and physically relaxed. And, of course, for teachers it means that they can have a little 1 or 2 minute start to a class as kids come in so they can, again, reset their bodies and relax back into a nice, relaxed work posture and hopefully start relieving some of these back and neck pain issues.
Sure, and I guess if you can implement that early, in the early years of primary school, it might be something that becomes a habit for them, is, you know, relieving their neck and finger and back muscles. So
sounds like
an interesting program. So another question I have is, when I was in primary school, I remember the issue of the big heavy school bag was a thing. Is that something we're still seeing, or is it sort of, I guess, dwindled off because kids now have laptops and iPads that they might keep at school, so they have less books?
Well, I've still seen kids carrying these massive bags because they're worried about not having the right books to go home and do their homework and things like that. And when my kids went through school, I actually asked one of the professors at UQ about an ergonomist by the name of Professor Benjamin Limericks about his, and he'd approached his school and he found that the schools were resistant in putting bags on rollers because they became a tripping hazard when there were lots of kids moving around in small places. They'd trip over each other's bags, or kids would use them as, you know, they'd swing them around and they'd become like a tool to hit other kids with. So the kids, the schools weren't sort of into the idea of what changes they could make. But then it's a big issue. I still think it's a big issue. We still see kids with one shoulder droop, don't we? So there is work that needs to be done there for sure.
Absolutely. And just sort of to round it off, I've got a rather interesting one. So here at ECU Broadcasting, in our TV studios and in TV studios across Australia, we use ergonomic chairs, which we like kneel on at the desk so we have better posture. Should these type of chairs be used in workplaces and even schools to encourage better posture?
It's really interesting. There's some fabulous ergonomic equipment around, but the key is to make sure that it fits the child and fits the classroom. So there's not a one size that fits all, and there's been a lot of promotion of really cheap sort of ergonomic equipment, particularly the kneeling chairs, where they're not really adjustable. and they put a lot of pressure on knees, and they don't actually hold you back. And so there's a lot to know about those. So it's really worth having a look and getting professional ergonomic help to decide what would be right for your child. And, of course, in a school setting, what would be right for the schools. I know a lot of schools are on a budget restraint, and they've gone back to these plastic bucket chairs, which are just appalling for kids' back postures. So it
I know the exact ones you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, they're bad. So their starting point, as a from a budget point of view, might actually to be to have an ergonomic cushion, which actually pads the chair and tilts the hips back into a better position for the children, and maybe having lumbar supports for those chairs, something that they can just add rather at low cost rather than having to do the big change over to an expensive ergonomic, full ergonomic solution.
Yeah. And my last question, just a quick one, standing desks, is it a yes or a no?
They're wonderful as long as you choose to use them. What we find is that people set them up and start using them, but then they find them tiring and they end up just as a seated chair again, a seated table again. So it takes a bit of practice, and generally yes, because any time that you can move more is really great. So my balance is that when I'm doing work that I don't really need to think too intensely about, like my emails and socials, I do it standing. And then when I'm writing and focusing, I do it sitting. That's how I sort of balance those two.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Liz, thanks for joining us today to discuss kids and their screen time. I'm sure for all the parents listening out there, they'll be monitoring that one closely. So cheers, Liz. All the best.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Liz Kirk, the founder of Beyond Ergo, an expert in all things safety, health, and computer-intensive work.